opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers.
Activist Radio is on the air.
You've tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win. All right!
If you don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
That's right. Your voice of resistance, Mark Harrington. On the air here on WRFD. The scripture says in Proverbs 28, verse 4, those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law resist them. Resist them. And I hope you are someone who praises the law and therefore resists the forces of darkness and evil in our culture. We're going to talk about that today on the Mark Harrington Show, and I want to set the stage by talking about some of this polling information, some research that has come out by George Barna, the Barna Group. And he was talking on an interview on One News Now, it was American Family Radio apparently, and asked about some of the research he's been doing on pastors and where they stand on particular issues. And it's just really fascinating, and in my opinion, I think very troubling, some of the findings that Barna found here. And I want to jump into that, and then we're going to be talking to my good friend Pastor Bill Dunphy about what's happening in Warsaw, Ohio. But first of all, let's just set the stage here. As Barna talks about in this piece, he says that most pastors, 90%, agree that the Bible addresses the issues of the day. And by that, I mean, apparently, you know, the issue of abortion, a child killing, homosexual rights, pornography. You go down the line. That the Bible addresses these key issues. But the research of Barna says only a handful of them, 10%, speak out on them. And the number one reason, cited by these by the folks that were polled in this research by Barna, that they don't speak out, that pastors don't speak out. The number one reason was the threat of punishment by the ACLU or the IRS. 32% cited that reason as the main reason why they do not speak out. Now, let me just say, For the pastors out there, and I think most people understand this, pastors, if you're a 501c3, you can't endorse a candidate. We get that. But you can support issues, ballot issues, legislation, so forth, and nothing prevents you within the IRS code from speaking out against the issues of the day. Nothing. But it's really beyond that, and I submit to you, and this is my own personal opinion, if you did away with the 501c3 code and the restrictions on pastors, let's just say it was gone, I submit to you that I don't think much would change, because I really don't think that's the reason. They may cite it as a reason because they're afraid of the IRS or the ACLU suing them. A legit concern, I would say, for most. But I think the bigger problem is simply fear. And he goes on to talk about the fear of controversy is the number one reason why these pastors polled in this research, the number one reason why they give for not getting involved in these controversial issues. And so that's it. It's controversy itself is why they don't. And when they asked what they thought would be a successful church, what they thought a successful church would look like, they gave a couple of indicators, a couple of benchmarks. And this is very instructive, I think. The first one, if a pastor was asked, what makes your church successful? The first thing they cited was the number of people that attend the church. The second thing was the amount of giving that they have. The third would be the programs that they have. Fourth being the number of staff that they have. Fifth being the building size, the size of the facility that they have. Now, I don't know about you. None of those that I can see, at least from my perspective, are reasons Jesus died for. They're not. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of these. These are all some good measures. If you have good attendance and giving, and your programs are good, number of staff, and your buildings are good, apparently you're doing something that would bring people in. That's good. But I think the bigger question is, what about evangelism? Shouldn't that be number one? What about reaching the culture? What about reaching the lost? What about sending missionaries into the field of harvest? I think those should be the top reasons or top benchmarks for being a successful church. Anyway, this information by Barna, I think, is very instructive. It tells us where the church is on these particular issues. And unfortunately, I think it's very troubling for us as a culture or as a Christian church to look and see these indicators and where pastors generally are. And I'm not saying all are this way. In fact, we're going to have one that's not particularly ascribes to this particular point of view on the air here in a minute. But I think it just it gives us an indication of why we're seeing what we're seeing in our culture. The earth is on fire. I don't know if you've noticed. Our nation is unraveling. And along with it, our churches are suffering. They need the whole counsel of God. We do. We need it. Jesus said in Matthew 28 that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he said, go make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to obey all that I commanded you. That's everything. We can't take an a la carte view of the Bible. We can't kind of pick and choose what we like and what we don't like. And pastors that do that are not being faithful to the scriptures. They're not being faithful to God himself. And so what we want to do here, I'm going to set this up with Pastor Bill. I want to play a clip. This was on the Columbus Dispatch's website. And if you don't know, there's been some controversy in Warsaw, Ohio, over an adult business, a strip club, if you will, that Pastor Bill and his church have been faithfully witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ outside of for many years. And, of course, this hit the news several years ago, when some of the ownership and the people that worked at the club came to Pastor Bill's church, and they stood outside and protested, I guess you could say. And so I wanted to play this clip, and then we'll get with Pastor Bill. Go ahead, Alan. Go ahead and hit this clip up. This is from the Columbus Dispatch's website.
As long as it exists, we will not share territory with the devil. I absolutely refuse as a pastor to look away from that place as long as it exists.
After years of the church picketing the strip club, the women who work there and the club owner have turned the tables.
I have never seen anybody picket a church. We had Pastor Bill Dunphy and his followers show up about 4 years ago in August, and it's been continual harassment virtually every weekend since then.
So as the church members arrive for Sunday morning services, they're met by the strippers.
What it comes down to is this, is that in our society, in the world, there's good and there's evil. There's right and there's wrong. There's light and there's darkness. And what we're dealing with right now, whenever you take a look at the strip club, it's evil.
I don't think necessarily either one of us are good or evil. I think there's good and evil in everyone, whether you're affiliated with the church or whether you're affiliated with the foxhole.
It's worth every minute to lose all my hours of sleep just to come down here and protest what I believe in, my rights to work where I want to work without being judged or called names or harassed.
Their presence, the Foxhole's presence out here has solidified our ministry. It's unified our ministry. Unity is born out of vision. Now all of a sudden the vision is one. It's a common vision that we have got to see this thing through to the end.
Okay, my guest is Pastor Bill Dunphy, and Pastor Bill pastors a church in Warsaw, Ohio, New Beginnings Church of God. Pastor, thanks for being on the program.
Thanks for having me, Mark. I appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, I want you to jump in and just give us the story. That was a bit from both sides, if you will, and we'll get to each one of the accusations that they make towards your church, which is all of it bogus, I know, because I know you and I've known you for more than a decade. But if you would, just give us the story behind what has happened in the last 8 years, sure. In particular with this adult business.
Sure. We're going on 9 years now that the Lord has impressed upon my heart to go and to address the evil that is in our community. And Coshocton County has a population of about 33,000, rural area. And whenever I was taking a look at, what is the biggest threat in our community when it comes to the forces of darkness and, the destruction of family, I had to look to the western part of the county and found the Foxhole, the strip club. And so the Lord impressed upon my heart that I have the responsibility as a pastor, as a Christian, as a husband, as a father, and as a grandfather to go out and to deal with it. And I looked at it as a perfect gospel opportunity to be able to go out and share the gospel and hopefully turn some of the hearts of individuals back to Christ and also to convince some that, you know what, that this place is evil. It's full of iniquity. It destroys families. It destroys marriages. It destroys women. There's nothing good about it whatsoever. And so, 8 years ago, there was a group of men, and we headed out and with the gospel of Christ and conviction in our heart that it was the right thing to do, that we began to minister. And 8 years, going on nine as of August right now, we've been out there faithfully. And in that amount of time, we have prayed with so many people that we couldn't even begin to number. We've rescued the perishing. We've rescued some brothers who were having some weak moments that, they found themselves bored or they found themselves all alone. Their wives were at a Christian conference or something like that, and they thought that they would come down and, catch a little bit of entertainment in the mm-hmm. sex industry. And unexpected, they met some Christian men out front and began to talk to them. And so it has been a tremendous success. I firmly believe that we have made a difference, are making a difference, and that our community is better, that neighborhood is safer, and most importantly, little boys and girls are safe. What I believe happens in sex clubs and the sexually oriented businesses is that men go in, daddies go in, men go in, and they get enticed, they get all worked up, and I believe that I honestly believe that one of the victims of the sex industry is little girls and little boys who, may very well be molested or, abused by somebody that's dear to them. And so we're out there to be a voice, to appeal to the conscience and to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for those that are unable to stand for themselves. And in so doing, evil has, it's put a big old crosshair on us, but that's all right. That way we know that we are following Christ, blessed are you when men shall speak all manner of evil against you and persecute you, So we look at it as we're extremely blessed that the devil knows who we are. And that's what we've been doing. And so the latest attempt is...
Hold there, Pastor. On the other side, we'll get to Pastor Bill Dunphy. He's my guest here. He's the pastor of New Beginnings Church in Warsaw, Ohio. And if you're not aware, there's been some controversy regarding their presence at this local strip joint in which the church has been witnessing for now 9 years. And we'll be picking up on that on the other side. You're listening to The Mark Harrington Show, your radio activist and voice of resistance. We'll be right back.
What do other pro-life leaders think of Mark Harrington and Created Equal? Listen to Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute.
Created Equal is about changing this culture, and that's what we have to do if we are going to win this fight. And Mark and Seth and the others on the team of Created Equal are doing just that. And I am happy to endorse their work, glad to call them fellow companions in this fight for the life of the unborn. And I certainly hope you will support and work with them as they work on reforming this culture so that it has an appreciation for human life.
Mark Harrington is a missionary and free speech advocate, and Mark has been on the front line of the debate over abortion for over 20 years. Mark needs your prayers and financial support. Please support Mark and Created Equal by going to createdequal.net or send a check to Created Equal, Post Office Box 360502, Columbus, Ohio, or 3230. Your gifts are tax deductible.
That's right. We're talking about love today. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So it's all about love, and Pastor Bill has been dispensing that love in his community for now 9 years, actually beyond that, but especially at this local sexually oriented business, a strip club in his own county, taking ownership over his own neighborhood, which is what we should be doing, and pastors should be doing, and shepherds of God should be doing, and the watchman on the wall should be doing. So, Pastor, let's get back to your story. 9 years, you've been faithfully outside witnessing, trying to rescue people from destroying their marriages and lives and affecting little girls and boys. And I know that you've had impact because the attendance is way down there. And I know your intent, at least tell me if it is, to eventually shut the place down. I want to talk about that, and then let's move to what this this group of individuals has done as far as coming to your church.
Sure, sure. Yes, our intent is to see that this darkness is, you know, it's expelled from our community, that there is no place. We are a family-oriented community. Mm-hmm. I would say that we're still a Christian community. This place is established in an Amish community. And, you know, I firmly believe and I am convinced that light and darkness, and the scripture backs me, cannot coexist together, that we just can't agree to disagree, that, you know, that they are in direct conflict with one another. The problem that we're dealing with is this, is that we want to keep the light in the lighthouse, and therefore darkness just continues to get thicker and deeper and more intense and so on and so forth. And in our community, you know, it's not over until darkness is expelled, and that, you know, family values are reinstated and reinstored, and that that neighborhood is safe once again, and little boys and girls are safe, and that marriages are strengthened, and the gospel of Christ is lifted up, and the kingdom of God goes forward.
And I know, Pastor, that you have faithfully witnessed and dispensed the gospel there, and all this accusation about harassment and name-calling, I know it's not true. I know you, I know your heart, I know the heart of the man in your church. But if you would, and I know there are people out thinking, no, that's probably what he's doing. Will you dispense with that rumor and that lie coming from the pit of hell?
I appreciate that opportunity. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, and, you know, as a Christian, as a man of God, as a godly man, as a pastor, one who values life, one who believes that Jesus Christ laid down his life on the cross of Calvary to rescue those who are in the mire and the clay and who are perishing, that if I'm going to go out and I'm going to follow Christ and I'm going to take the brunt that of all the accusations and all of the repercussions that come along with it, the last thing I'm going to do is make my message of no effect. That, you know, that when you're trying to reach somebody and you're trying to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, using derogatory words or terms isn't going to get you anywhere. And our objective is reach the individuals for Christ, and therefore we come at it from the perspective that, you know what, that we've got to acknowledge them and recognize them and help them to understand that Jesus Christ died for them and that he wants to save them. In 9 years, I have never, nor any of our guides, ever spoken a derogatory term toward any of the ladies or toward any of the individuals that go into that place, as the owner, Tom George, would have individuals to believe. You know, now I can't say that to be true about the other side. You know, mm-hmm. Tom has made some accusations and said some things in a derogatory way about our wives, mm-hmm. about our daughters, about mm-hmm. The women in our church, trying to provoke us, you know, to anger, to hostility. And, you know, our lives are surrendered to Christ. We're submitted to Christ. And our primary objective is to glorify Jesus Christ, lift up his name, to advance his kingdom, and pull down the workers of darkness and all of this evil that is around us. So,
well, you know this, the truth is hate to those who hate the truth. And sometimes when you even preach the truth in love, those who hate the truth are going to think it's hate. That's just how it works. That's what they're going to interpret it as, even though it's not. because you love them enough to tell them the truth, to hopefully rescue them from the behavior and lifestyle they've chosen. Now, Pastor, since just recently, in the last couple of years, this group of individuals, this owner and others, have I guess, responded, and they have come to your church. Now, to most pastors out there, I'd be happy. I mean, maybe you are. I don't know. To have people from a sexually oriented business actually come to your church is a good thing. You get an opportunity to preach the gospel. I'm sure you probably look at it that way. But would you share with us what has happened most recently with them coming now to your church and attempting, I guess, to provoke you?
Sure. Well, we are, we look forward to opportunities to minister, period. And I believe that if they want to protest our church, that they have every right to protest our church. And we'll seize it as an opportunity. We got people that are perfectly capable of ministering to them and, sharing the Word of God with them. But the latest endeavor is this, is to take their clothes off, their tops off, and to expose our children, to nudity and try to intimidate the church, the body of Christ, New Beginnings Ministries, and myself, try to intimidate us to quit doing that which it is that the Lord has called us into. And I equate it to what's going on in Iraq right now with Islam.
Huh.
You stop to think about how Islam is threatening the Christians and what they're doing to intimidate the Christians to submission and to deny Christ and to abandon his words and his truth. And what they're doing is they're going after the children. Okay, they're beheading children, they're killing children, and in hopes that what will happen is that in itself will strike enough fear in their hearts that they will give in, that they'll succumb to the enemy and just give up on Christ. Well, it's not happening in Iraq, and it's not going to happen in Warsaw, Ohio. That they're not going to take our children hostage and just watch us sit idly by while they parade in the streets and allow all this nudity to go on. The body of Christ is rallying around us, Mark. We're getting calls from all across the nation. We have people that are coming from all across the nation who are standing with us. And to be honest with you, the body of Christ is more united in this particular protest than in the previous one. And simply because they have sunk to a new level, that they are literally, parading in the streets with no tops on and nudity. And it's wrong. It shouldn't be allowed, in spite of the fact that we have a law in the book that says that, that the breast isn't a private part and that, women can go around topless, that it should not be allowed. I propose to you and your listeners, Mark, this question. Is would our law enforcement officers allow it to happen in front of a public school? Would they allow it to happen in front of a preschool?
No way.
Absolutely not. But it's allowed to happen in front of New Beginnings Ministries simply because of the fact that they believe, that the law enforcement officers believe that, that two things. Number one is that that we have instigated it, and therefore, more or less, we deserve it. Well, the community hasn't done anything to deserve it. If they want to believe that, okay, then we deserve it. The community has been taken hostage by this nonsense. They haven't done a thing to deserve it. And Romans 13 makes it very clear that the purpose of magistrates and governors and, law enforcement is to do what? Is to punish the evil and to reward the good.
That's right.
And then Scripture says what? Woe unto those who call evil good and good evil. And that's what we're dealing with here. We have a village ordinance in Warsaw that says that this cannot go on. And it even spells out, a village ordinance spells out, that that sexually oriented businesses cannot parade themselves in the streets of the village, okay? They cannot expose themselves, they cannot expose their breast or any private part in the village limits of Warsaw. But what we have is our mayor, our law enforcement, our prosecutor's office, they're all looking away from it and saying, well, it's not enforceable.
Hey, Bill, we got about 30 seconds. I want you to wrap it up, and I know we're cutting it short here. I'm sorry about that. Let me ask you this. How's your congregation hanging in there, and what do you want our listeners to do?
Brother, we are united. They're not going to intimidate us. They're not going to drive us, into a hole. We will continue to stand. We'll continue to lift up the gospel. What your listening audience can do, number one, is quit believing lies. We are Christians. We love the Lord with all of our heart. We're laying our lives down for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? Number one is quit believing lies. Number two is this, pray. Number three is stand with us. If you can make it to Warsaw, come and stand with us. And number four, what I would encourage is begin to write letters to the editors, to the newspapers, and get the word out there that, you know what, that this is an evil thing.
All
and
right.
It needs to be addressed.
We
got to
go. Pastor Bill Dunphy, my guest, and praise God for Bill. I stand wholeheartedly behind him. Go to his church this Sunday or any Sunday. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net, createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.